In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. With the litany of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
You loved us before the world was made. You rescued the people of your promise. You spoke through your prophets. You gave your only Son for the life of the world. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. And was born of the Virgin Mary. Who by His cross and suffering redeemed the world. And has washed us from our sins. Who on the third day rose from the dead. And has given us the victory. Who ascended on high. And intercedes for us at the right hand of God. For the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. For the great cloud of witnesses into which we are baptized. For Sarah and Abraham, Isaac and Rebecca. For Gideon and Deborah, David and Esther. For Moses and Isaiah, Jeremiah and Daniel. For Miriam and Rahab, Abigail and Ruth. For Mary, Mother of our Lord. For John, who baptized in the Jordan. For Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary and Martha. For James and John, Peter and Andrew. For Paul and Apollo, Stephen and Phoebe. For all holy men and women, our mothers and fathers in faith. For the noble band of the prophets. For the glorious company of the apostles. For the white-robed army of martyrs. For cherubim and seraphim, Michael and the holy angels. Be gracious to us. Deliver your people. Give new life to your servants by the grace of baptism. Strengthen all who bear the sign of the cross. Clothe us in compassion and love. Bring us with all your saints to the river of life. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Thank you. A reading from Revelation. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. A reading from 1 John. See what the love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On the Feast of All Saints, we have the opportunity to grieve again. It's a unique opportunity, particularly in a culture that seeks to avoid discussion and thoughts of death, wants us to increasingly speed through the mourning process and suppress the pain we still feel, the loss of loved ones. So whether you lost a loved one since our last All Saints Day, or if they've been gone for years, the Church gives us the opportunity to reflect, to mourn, to give thanks. We also can reflect on what it means to be a Christian participating in the holy life. It's a life that God calls us to be saints of God that rise from those baptismal waters. I believe when we participate in the holy life, when God is at the center, as we talked in Bible study this morning, that might be a bit of what poor in spirit is getting at. When God is at the center of our lives, we live life differently in the world. Because we engage the world differently. Now, a few days ago, actor Matthew Perry died suddenly. And I came across an interview in which he mentions prayer and the fame that he achieved. When discussing his desire to get his big break to be on the TV show Friends, Matthew Perry said this, "For the first time in my life, I knelt down and prayed. And that prayer was, please God, make me famous. You can do anything you want to me. Just make me famous. 3 weeks later, I got Friends. And God did not forget about the second part. I mean, I had the American dream happen to me. I got a great job. I was good at it. I bought a house. The house had a pool. And I really, really liked it. Loved it. For about 6 months. Then I walked into my house and went, oh man, this is not fixing this problem that I have. So I want to talk about the second part of what he said here, because it points to a truth that spiritual leaders and faith practitioners have taught throughout the centuries, that we can have everything, we can have it all as the world defines it, and still realize there's still a void. That nothing is really being solved here. And that's tough. That's a tough message to preach and proclaim, particularly in a society that promotes materialism and consumerism. The happiness that are promised by those things are empty. It might feel good for a while, but it fades. I often point to Psalm 23, verse 1, that many of us would have heard when burying a loved one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. But I always say this is a message for the living. What would life be if you didn't want anything else but the Lord at the center of your life? What would that look like? When the Lamb is at the center of our lives? What does that look like in how we engage the world? For one, we wouldn't be so easily seduced by those false promises of materialism and consumerism. Now, in learning about Matthew Perry's journey, his battle with addiction and recovery, it did seem like he got this at a later stage in his life. His perspective about life and happiness really shifted. He became very open and vulnerable, which I know our society sees as weakness, but that takes courage to be open and vulnerable. He became vulnerable, why? So he could love and help others. He knew the dark spots of those empty promises. He wanted to go to those places to be in solidarity with those who were suffering. He sought to go where people were living in an honest-to-God hell to lift them up. Now, as a Christian, I would say that's a good way to emulate Jesus. Because Jesus does that for us. He goes to hell and back for each and every one of us. That's the holy life, looking like Jesus. As we heard in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, what we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. See him as he is, crucified and risen, willing to go in hell and back for others as he did for us. The life of a saint is not a sanitary life by the world standards, but to be like Jesus, to go in those God-forsaken places, to be with people who feel alone and abandoned and rejected, to assure them that they're not alone, and to give them a helping hand, to let God work through us in such a way that the love and presence of God can be seen, given, and received. It's not a life that desires to draw attention to ourselves, but to point to the work of God in all of this. Martin Luther preached this on the Thursday after Easter, on April 21st, 1530. He preached about saints and baptism. And he said, "Friends, it's not a joke, but a very dangerous thing to talk about the communion of saints. We honor Christ, not ourselves, when we boast about this holiness. Because we are knit into holiness and suffering, we too become holy." Notice he mentions holiness and suffering, right? See, American Christianity doesn't like that. But we're joined into that holiness and suffering. We too become holy. He goes on to say, "I believe in one holy Christian church. We're all saints. If you believe the word of Christ, then you are just as much a saint as Saint Peter and every other saint. Here's why. Christ certainly won't lie to you. If you don't say, 'I have as much as Saint Peter, and I'm just as holy as St. Peter,' then you're ungrateful to your Lord Jesus Christ. Such boasting is not arrogance, but humility and thankfulness. And whoever doesn't boast blasphemes Christ and baptism, for baptism is a work of God, and it's holy." This is the God who comes to us, who pursues us. And All Saints is an opportunity to give thanks for what God has done for us, for what God has promised to us, And then we reflect on that particular relationship that we and those who have gone before us have with God. Even as we continue to mourn, we give thanks to this God who has pursued us. For God adopts us as God's children. We're now in this family relationship. And those promises of holy baptism remind us always that death is not the end of that relationship. It continues on. And so when I say that these promises of our world, like consumerism, materialism, are empty, it's not poetic, it's a reality. Cling to the promise that we have in Jesus. Because Matthew Perry describes, notice he describes everything that he had, that fame and fortune, as the American dream. He was living it. And there are countless people throughout human history and in our world today that quote unquote have it all. And there's still a void. It doesn't solve anything. So the life of the saint doesn't seek to accumulate as much as they can, but like Jesus, empties themselves for the sake of others. It amazes me constantly how there are people in our society today that will say, oh, you people cling to your faith to numb yourselves from the pains and reality of the world. I think it's the other way around. The opiate of the people is eating, drinking, and being merry and getting as much as I can because I don't have to think about death, right? What are we doing today? We're remembering those who have died since the last All Saints Day. We're giving people permission to grieve again. We're leaning into the harshness of life. What happens on Ash Wednesday? We trace the sign of the cross in ashes on people's foreheads and say, you are dust, but to dust, and to dust you shall return. We take this all very seriously, but we lean into the pain and suffering of this world and we do it with hope. We don't numb ourselves to it. We acknowledge that reality. We become a people of hope in this world, emulating our crucified and risen Savior. Now there are some in the world that says, all that we're experiencing and doing right now, that's all that matters. And there are people that are, they're just looking towards the future and say, when I die or when it all comes to an end, that's all that matters. You know what Lutherans would say? It's a both and, right? It all matters. The God who has found us, the God who has adopted us, who brought us into a family relationship with God and with others, says that right now matters, the present matters, and so does the future. It's now and forever. We allow ourselves to feel the pain of grief. We wipe away each other's tears. We cling to the promise that the sting of death does not contain anyone who belongs to God, for our crucified and risen Savior has defeated death. And when we enter a world full of pain and suffering, when we enter those God-forsaken places, we bear witness to a God that is everywhere. A God that is love. Where beauty can break through and heaven on earth can be experienced. When the saints of God follow the way of Jesus, heaven on earth breaks through. For as children and saints of God, we are promised that in life and in death, we belong to God forever. And that's the hope that we bring to the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, the church triumphant gathers around your throne to praise you. We join them in worship and remember your sustaining grace in every generation. Heal our divisions. Show us unity in your presence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. For all the holy people of God, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is
great. Holy Creator, we marvel at your creation revealed in the cycle of seasons, changing landscapes, and the rise and fall of ocean tides. Turn us from selfish consumption and open us to gentle healing of the earth so all creation thrives. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Together we pray with and for our sisters and brothers in the Holy Land, lifting up prayers for the peace of Jerusalem, of Israel, and of Palestine. Bless Palestinians and Israelis who dare to take risks for peace. Guide and refresh all those who accompany them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love and God of compassion, your people are in distress. We rely on your presence and care to sustain those who are in pain and in a state of fear. We pray for your care for the people of Lewiston, Maine, as they mourn the loss of loved ones. We pray for peace and comfort for the community. Hear us, O God. Holy Advocate, we lift grateful hearts for the ability to vote and elect leaders. Grant wisdom to those who will be elected and safety to poll workers. May civic leaders serve the whole community, especially all who are underrepresented or oppressed. Hear us, O God. Holy Healer, bless the brokenhearted and all who mourn. Send your compassion to all who grieve. Grant wholeness to those who are sick and accompanying the dying. Be near to all those who need you, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Scott, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Carolyn, Phyllis, Dave, Harry, Theodore Moon and family, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Bill, Jessica and her twins, Wesley and Wyatt, and our homebound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy Comforter, we pray for this congregation that the promise of your new life may be shared and experienced. We pray for the funeral ministry of this congregation that families and friends seeking your love find it here. Hear us, O God. Holy One, for the saints who now rest in your mercy, Jared, Betty, and Art, we give you thanks. We remember their witness of faithfulness and love. Praise to you for the eternal life that they have been given through Jesus Christ. Hear us, O God.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the witness of the saints, you show us the hope of our calling and strengthen us to run the race set before us, that we may delight in your mercy and rejoice with them in glory. And so, with Jared, Betty, Art, and all the saints, with the choirs of angels and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament or participating in children's church. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. Cindy, our assisting minister, will have the chalice of consecrated wine. An usher will have the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in this world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
I call those who bring communion to our homebound forward. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your loving care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just a note on our sending hymn that we'll be singing the first three verses, and then there'll be a commendation spoken with music in the background, and then we'll continue with the remaining verses. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. The love of God who created you, the mercy of Jesus Christ who died for you, and the power of the Holy Spirit who strengthens you, keep you at one with all the faithful, living and departed, and remain with you now and forever. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we have commended your servants, Jared, Betty, and Art. Acknowledge, we beseech you, sheep of your own fold, lambs of your own flock, sinners of your own redeeming. Give us grace to trust that you have received them and all our departed brothers and sisters who have died in the sure and certain hope of rising again into the arms of your mercy and into the blessed company of the saints in light. May they rest in peace and rise in glory.